Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliott Smith song. In this podcast, we try, in our own very small way, to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and welcome to today's episode, which will sadly be our penultimate show of Season 3. And our guest for this one is the musician Charlene Kay. Charlene releases music under the name Kay, K-A-Y-E, and is currently preparing to release her new album, Conscious Control, which comes out next month, November 2020. And you may also know her as the lead singer of the band San Fermin, which she was a part of for 5 years until she left in 2019. As well as being a great musician in her own right, Charlene is, of course, a huge Elliott Smith fan as well. And in this conversation, we talk about the influence Elliott's music has had on her life and her career, the places his songs transport her to, and we chat about her favourite song pick too. So here she is. Here's Charlene Kay speaking to me from her home in New York.
My name is Charlene Kay. I go by Kay, and I'm a musician based in New York City. I've picked the song Satellite from his self-titled album. This song and this whole album really was so instrumental to me as a formative musician in high school. And when I was in high school, I just had a CD sleeve with 5 Elliott Smith CDs in it. And it was like, you know, the thing that connects to the visor on the top of the car. And I would just rotate Elliott Smith CDs on my drive to school around town. I lived in Phoenix, Arizona. And so I really associate those long drives and like coming to like my coming of age and his music as like sort of the soundtrack to my adolescence. And there's this, I think in Portuguese, there's a word called saudade, which is this like sort of abstract notion of nostalgia for a time that is or isn't there. And it has a lot of imagined sorrow and but it's abstract. And so I think, like a lot of teenagers, we have a longing for something that we can't quite name. And it could be something that we are about to become in the future. It could be, I believe that there are, this sounds super woo-woo, but like, I think that we all have past lives as well. And I think that there was something about his music that really felt spiritual to me and felt that it gave language and melody to something that I couldn't quite name at the time. And so I think I connected with it so intensely because of that. And I just associate the song Satellite with driving around the desert, thinking about a boy or, you know, feeling alone, but also so alive at the same time and just going through the ups and downs of being a teenager. You just feel this melancholy in his voice and in the lyrics. I think I'm also really drawn to space imagery in music, and my upcoming album has a lot of that as well. I love space-based narratives like David Bowie's Space Oddity and Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. And he has a lot of imagery about looking up at the sky. He says when they call it a lover's moon, the satellite, because it acts just like lovers do, and it's a burned out world. Like there's something so tragic and pessimistic about it, but it's also so beautiful. And I think it's about connection and isolation and feeling really isolated from his lover, his community. And I think that's been such a through line in his catalog. But this song, I think, touches on it exceptionally well. And it brought out and gave and validated a lot of the isolation that I felt, I think, as a teenager. 'Cause the names you drop on eyes in my face. there's sarcasm in these lyrics too. He's like, when they call it a lover's moon, like you can tell that he doesn't really believe that. Like, you're the only one who finds it strange. And he says, when the hands are pointing up at midnight, it's clearly late at night. And then, I'm intrigued by the language that he uses around this sort of like astral plane with the natural world. And it just seems like there's a disconnect there with the physicality and the spirituality that he feels. It's all you know, you're the only one who fights it strange. When they call it a lover's moon,
settle alive. And is there anything about the musicality of the song that you particularly enjoy?
Yeah, it's like a waltz, and there's an element of this slow dance about it that feels ceremonial when you hear the lyrics and see the astral imagery. And yeah, it feels like a celestial waltz almost.
So when you were in your car as a teenager driving around Arizona, listening to Elliott Smith, what other songs were you listening to as well as Satellite?
Oh, there's so many. Sweet Adeline, The Biggest Lie, 13, everything on Roman Candle, Alameda, everything from XO. Yeah, I associate him entirely with my childhood and my coming of age. For people in my generation, I had a Zanga page. It was like the first kind of blog. So I had a Zanga when I was in high school. And if you like came onto my Zanga page, it would autoplay The Biggest Lie by Elliott Smith.
And when you listen to Satellite and to Elliott Smith now, does that reconnect you with who you were then and the feelings you felt when you're driving around in your car?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the beauty of music, right? It completely takes you back to a very specific moment in time when you heard that song, or maybe you were listening to it a lot after a breakup or after a loss or during a happy time. I feel like I just love music for that, the fact that it's such bottled, concentrated emotion. And I'm so grateful to have the ability to chronicle my life through music, because it helps me understand and process my experiences better. And Elliott Smith has been a huge part of my being inspired to do that. I think Angelus also brings about this really strong nostalgia that I couldn't quite name when I was in high school. And I covered a lot of these songs when I was first learning how to play guitar. And so I associate it with learning how to finger pick. I associate it with sitting in my car in the parking lot of my high school, learning these songs and bonding with other people who had heard about Elliott Smith, because he wasn't quite as mainstream as some of the bands that you heard on the radio. And so my first relationships and my first true friendships, I think, were solidified around his music. And like it was so instrumental in my wanting to be a musician, and it awoke that artist in me that I always knew was there.
And how did you get into Elliott Smith's music in the first place?
You know, I think a friend played it for me in their car. And then I was just captivated by the hushed quality of his voice. And I was at the time also into a lot of really heavy rock, like Incubus and Third Eye Blind and Muse and all these heavy punk bands. And Elliott Smith did have a punk band himself, Heat Miser, but I feel like there was something so anarchistic about singing so quietly in the current landscape. And it was captivating because it was almost like you had to lean in to listen instead of letting it come to you. And the way that he doubles his vocals and doubles his guitars in every song just gives this immersive quality about listening to his music with headphones. And it just makes you lose yourself in it, I think.
When I listen to your music as a solo artist, it strikes me as being a bit more poppy, I guess, than Elliott Smith's work. But are there influences from him that come through, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think even though my stuff is a bit poppier in structure, there's still an underlying melancholy in it that is a through line. It's a little bit deceptive when you hear some of the catchy songs of mine, because they were all written on piano, and if you take out the production, they could be ballads, you know, and it all comes from a place of introspection, a place of wanting to figure something out, a place of wanting to put language to an experience that I had that I don't know how to process. And I think in Elliot Smith's music, there's so much searching. He's always searching for something. It's inner peace, maybe. It's understanding. It's self-reflection. And he was so restless as a person and as a songwriter, but especially he was in his personal life, he was never satisfied. He was always so unsatisfied with the current moment. And I think there's a bit of escapism that you hear in his music that you can also tell is why he wanted to lose himself so much in drugs and alcohol. And reading about his relationships and his paranoia and his mental struggles, and like, I just think that the way that his music elicits this sort of melancholia is something that everybody can relate to. And certainly me as a teenager, but me as an adult as well. Like, I listen to his music and I empathize with him, because I'm also someone who has struggled with depression in the past and not being sure if you can pull yourself out of that hole. And sometimes all you have to do is sit with yourself and either play music or make something or find a way to pull yourself out of that tunnel. And so it seems like for him, it was like music was just a way to try to hold on to that lifeline and chronicle his feelings and his emotions during a very tortured state of mind. I just think that we can all relate to that kind of despair. We, in the society that we live in, we live in such a, especially in New York, when everybody's so, there's such a focus put on achieving and success, and we live in a capitalistic society. I think that it just makes me think about how important mental health is, and how much I wish that we would prioritize being in therapy, being emotionally aware, doing the work to know ourselves and find the language to understand why certain things just push us to this place. And I don't use the word depression lightly, but I was depressed when I was a kid, and it was not acceptable to be so lost. And I come from a pretty rigid Chinese family, and so I didn't have the tools to talk about how lost and confused I felt as a 13-year-old. And I think Elliot Smith's music helped me through that and just helped me see that I wasn't alone. It sounds so cliche, but that's the connection that I have with him. And I think that people are so hardcore about his music because it's like, pain is the point of connection, right? Everyone's like, I've been there too. And yeah, I just have a lot of font of tenderness and emotion for him. And it seems like people who have really resonated with his music have also have that kind of sensitivity. And so it builds a community of people who have experienced pain and suffering and have been to those dark places. And, you know, it's a gift that even though he suffered so much, he spawned so much other great music because of his own.
So thank you very much to Charlene for taking part in the podcast. I think she summed up the connection lots of us have with Elliot Smith's music very nicely at the end there. Now, as I said at the beginning of the show, we have just one episode left in this, our third season. And that one is going to be with Aaron Espinosa from the band Early Mart. As some of you listening may know, Aaron was very good friends with Elliot, particularly during the early 2000s when they were both living in Los Angeles. So he has lots of great stories to tell, many of which he shares with us in the interview. So hopefully you can join us for that one when it's out in a couple of weeks' time. And lastly, just before I go, for the final episode, we are still taking listener submissions. So if you want to be featured on the podcast, all you need to do is send us a voice note telling us what your favourite Elliott Smith song is to submissions@myfavouriteelliottsmithsong.com. So that's it for today then. Thanks again to Charlene Kay for being our guest. Thanks to Elizabeth Wood-Stanley for producing the show with me. And thank you for listening to it. To play us out, here's David in Sydney in Australia telling us what his favourite Elliott Smith song is. Thanks for listening.
Hey, my name is David. I'm from Sydney, Australia. And my favourite Elliott Smith song is You Make It Seem Like Nothing, which is also known as Come To Me. I guess it doesn't really have a title. There's no studio recording. There's only two live versions. And I don't think Elliott ever actually says the name of the song. But anyway, to me, this song is about that bittersweet feeling when you look back on a relationship or a friendship and you start to realize what you did wrong or what you could have done better or maybe how you could have been there for them when they needed it. And maybe you even learn from your mistakes. You might be a better person now, but it doesn't change what happened. You can't go back and be the right person for them at the right time. I think that comes out in the chorus. Like, it's starting to come to me. I didn't know about, I hadn't figured it out, but it's starting to come to me now, a little bit too late. I think that captures the feeling so well. It starts out positive, he's learning, he's growing, it's starting to come to him, but in the end, it's a little too late for that, and he's kind of just left with regret and frustration. I love how, like in most of Elliott's songs, it describes quite a specific scenario. It's clearly about a specific person, but it's also open enough for anyone to relate to it. I think that combination makes it so powerful to me. I love where he says, I can't help you when you're sad. That's a constant source of pain for me because I want to really bad, even though you make it seem like nothing. To me, that's such a beautiful nuanced picture of a relationship. There's a real desire to help this person. There's frustration that you can't help this person. There's a sense that the person is playing down their pain or making it seem like nothing, maybe trying not to make him feel so bad about not being able to help. But all the same, he knows there's nothing he can do. Anyway, thanks for listening to me ramble about this song. I absolutely love the podcast. Please keep doing it. Thanks so much.